North Shore Today,
the area's only daily news podcast
on MSONewsSports.com.
Along with Bill Newell, I am Rick Moore, and this is North Shore Today for Tuesday, May 12, 2020.
Governor Charlie Baker announced a four-phase approach to reopening the Massachusetts economy amidst the COVID-19 pandemic yesterday. They published a mandatory workplace safety standards that will apply across the sectors of industries once reopening begins. Now, as you move through the phases, how long will that take? Governor Charlie Baker.
So that's a really good question. And if you look at the way other states have teed this up, people have bought themselves a lot of latitude. And I think this is appropriate between phases. You know, people have basically said things like, it's going to be 4 weeks between phases unless the data tells us something else. It's going to be 3 weeks between phases unless the data tells us something else. It's going to be this amount of time unless the data tells us something else, which is, I think, the way states are trying to balance the idea of giving people some ability to plan, but at the same time recognizing that if there's some huge spike in what happens, between the opening of, you know, phase two and phase three, or phase one and phase two, that requires them to change course, that they need to have the latitude and the ability to do that. But that's generally been the way other states have done it, and I think in the end we'll probably work off a similar model, which will provide people with a little bit of guidance. But in the end, if the data looks really good, that's great. You go ahead and you go to the next phase. If the data looks really bad, then you got to reconsider what you've done and figure out how to solve for the whatever the particular issue is.
Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker.
Dr. Christine McGrath is the Director of Operations for the Massachusetts Association of School Superintendents, and she told MSO News that there is a common challenge facing superintendents across the state.
Yes, not only is there a commonality, Rick, but there's been what I would call a sequence to their concerns that they have all shared. First was the challenge of taking your face-to-face brick-and-mortar process and moving it online.
Mm-hmm.
So that was phase one. So I'm going to talk about the common, and then I'm going to talk about the equity gaps across our Commonwealth. So how do I get up and running on remote learning? That was first and foremost. How do I make sure that I'm feeding my kids? How do I make sure that all of my families have a device so a child can participate in a remote learning? Many of them scrambled. Some were further ahead than others. So by the first 2 weeks of this, everybody was up and running with remote learning. The second phase was figuring out, how do you make sure everybody's engaged, and what's the criteria for assessing, adding value to the work that the children are doing? Phase three, so the commissioner initially said, you can take what you've taught thus far and go deeper into that curriculum taught to date. Phase three was more, no, we want you to go, now that we're going to be closed through the end of this academic year, we want you to take what you've taught. We want you to align that, what the commissioner has called essential standards in the curriculum, and we want you to advance the work according to, not everything, because you can't recreate it all, but according to those power standards. So that became a concern. I would say the three things that are foremost on their minds right now, one, because it's a loyalty to the legacy of their respective school districts. What am I going to do to culminate those wonderful celebratory activities we had for eighth graders, for children who are graduating? This is Teacher Appreciation Week. Teacher, congratulations, Rick. What are we going to do to celebrate? This is important to our seniors. This is important to our community. So that doesn't sound like a thing that's as huge as other issues, but that's important to the community. That's important to the students. So that's piece one that they're worried about. Piece two is fiscal. How do I land fiscal 20? How do I plan for fiscal 21? And in anticipation of appreciably reduced state revenues, what's the impact of fiscal 22? So they're concerned about that. And to that end, we're working with the Mass Association of School Business Officials, and we're providing a technical assistance program for our members and for their members next week to look at these are the things you have to keep your eye on with respect to state aid, circuit breaker, Student Opportunity Act. So graduation, celebratory, culture, positive culture things, number one. Finance is going to be huge, particularly as the state numbers come in, the House Ways and Means budget, the Senate, the joint, and then third is return and recovery and what that will look like.
That is Dr. Christine McGrath, Director of Operations for the Massachusetts Association of School Superintendents.
Peabody is one virus fatality away from a gruesome milestone as the city's death toll now stands at 99. Gayla Colley writing in today's Daily Item of Lynn that nine more people have died from the coronavirus since last Wednesday, and the city's total number of confirmed cases is 842, according to Public Health Director Sharon Cameron. Lynn also reported an additional death on Monday as their death toll has crept up to 75. Elsewhere, Marblehead and Saugus reported additional virus fatalities of COVID-19 cases on Monday. Four more Lynn residents have died since last Friday, but the city reported its first collective decrease in new cases since the outbreak began. More on this story in today's Daily Item of Lynn.
Michael Cronin's reporting in today's Gloucester Times, a ceiling-mounted gas heater left on after Essex Seafood closed Sunday night sparked a fire that caused an estimated $250,000 worth of damage, according to fire officials. There's a quote that says, "Thankfully, no one was injured, but there is extensive damage to the restaurant building. We'll keep you updated with the next steps." That was posted on the Facebook page of Essex Seafood 143 Eastern Avenue on Monday morning. The fire was caused by a 15- to 24-year-old ceiling-mounted gas heater left on after closing, according to a report released by Essex Fire Department. The fire started in the ceiling over the main counter where the gas heater was located. Firefighters from Hamilton, Manchester-by-the-Sea, Gloucester, Ipswich, and Wenham worked to put out the fire, which was reported at 10:58 p.m. The Rockport Fire Department was called to cover the Essex Fire Station along with a separate crew of Wenham firefighters. Firefighters were able to contain the fire to the restaurant, and by 2 a.m. Monday, firefighters cleared the area. Essex Seafood was open Sunday, Mother's Day, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. for takeout orders only. More on the story in today's Gloucester Times.
The Peabody School Committee voted unanimously Monday to delay Peabody Veterans Memorial graduation from June 5 to August 1, and in doing so, the committee members hope that the class of 2020 might have a chance at a more traditional graduation should social distancing requirements be eased as the corona pandemic wanes. Ethan Foreman writing in today's Salem News that most of the students collectively can agree that they want a graduation with everyone together. I know that would be hard, but that's what most students want. That's according to class treasurer Julie Palazzaro during a remote special school committee meeting on Monday afternoon. What that ceremony might look like remains to be seen, though some ideas were floated. This is North Shore Today, a daily news podcast produced by MSONewsSports.com. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for joining us. Hey, don't forget to email us. You can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. It's Tuesday. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. Stay safe.